Happy New Year to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's kick off with African football. Ghana's Israeli coach, Avram Grant, has named a 26-man provisional squad for the Africa Cup of Nations, which begins January 14th in Gabon. The 61-year-old Grant included veteran striker Asamoah John, who is based in the United Arab Emirates with the club Al Ahly. The 31-year-old John is Ghana's all-time leading scorer with 48 goals, and he's captained the Black Stars at previous international tournaments. One surprise omission was 24-year-old Jeffrey Schlupp, who was part of Leicester City's surprise 2016 English Premier League winning team. Coach Grant did select Schlupp's Leicester teammate, defender Daniel Amarte, as well as several other England-based players, including the Ayew brothers, Andre Dede Ayew of West Ham and Jordan Ayew of Aston Villa. At a news conference in Accra, Coach Grant talked about his Nations Cup squad.
This squad is a squad for winning games. We have a good squad, a combination between players with experience, with players without experience, combination between defense to offense. We have also players that can play many positions. We have a good squad. If everybody will be fit, which I'm sure they will be fit, we have a good squad to winning games, to winning the games in Africa.
Avram Grant was named Ghana's head coach at the end of November 2014. He led the Black Stars to the final of the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations in Bata, Equatorial Guinea, where Ghana lost to neighbor Ivory Coast 9-8 in a dramatic penalty kick shootout in the final. And while Ghana has won four Nations Cup trophies, the last one came way back in 1982, which is too long of a wait for many fans of the Black Stars. To win a fifth Nations Cup, Coach Avram Grant says Ghana will first have to get out of a challenging first-round group that has Mali, Egypt, and Uganda.
My only concern now is to win the African Cup. It's not easy. First, we have a very, very difficult group stage, and we want to do it. I did everything in my power that it will be to help Ghana. I really, really like it here. I like the people. I like everything around. I think some targets we achieved, some targets that I put myself still didn't achieve, but I'm very happy.
At the same news conference in Accra, Ghana Football Association President Kwesi Nyantechi denied reports that the GFA thought about firing Coach Grant after some recent losses.
I can confirm to you that they are bogus sources because they are not legitimate or genuine or any reliable sources that you can count on. And if anybody even within the FA told you that, it could as well be described as his own opinion. That's not the opinion of the FA.
Before traveling to Gabon, Coach Grant and the Black Stars will hold a training camp in Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, where the team will be tightened to the final 23 players for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations. Ghana will begin its Nations Cup campaign January 17th when it plays Uganda in Port-Gentil, Gabon. Meanwhile, one of the Ghanaian sports journalists who will be following the Black Stars in Gabon is Ya Ofosu Larbi. He talks about Ghana's Nations Cup chances.
The chances are that there's a lot of talk in town about
the Black Stars making the final and winning it, because since 1982 we've never won it. We went to the final in 1992, we couldn't win it in 2010, and then in 2015, and we've come close too many times. People think this is the time that the Black Stars need to pick it up. So for the chances of the Black Stars, I strongly feel they can make the semi-final, but what happens after that will be their own prerogative. If they want it more, they will get it, and that is what they should go for.
One of the diehard Black Stars supporters is Mama Aduwumwa, who traveled to Germany to watch Ghana play at its first World Cup in 2006.
Since 34 years, the Black Stars are not able to win the African Cup of Nations. And if this Gabon 2017, they could not lift the trophy, most Ghanaians and I myself will be disappointed. And no longer will I give my support to the team. Enough is enough, but there is hope for the Black Stars this time.
Mama Adu, as my VOA colleague Shaka Sali likes to say, keep hope alive.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest bitter part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
More African football news now on the Voice of America. Many African youngsters dream of becoming wealthy football stars, but the first ever global employment report by the World Players Union, FIFPro, may serve as a reality check. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé.
Fans of the Aigle Football Club of Menwa, a team in Cameroon's second division, cheered their players during a training session. Among the strikers is 31-year-old Emmanuel Koska. Koska recently returned from Thailand. He sold his father's land to pay for the trip, but says that once he arrived, his agent disappeared and the team he went to play for did not retain him. Now back home, Koska struggles to earn enough to meet his needs and those of his family.
Playing at the local level here in Cameroon, there is nothing much. Normally on Monday, after a day of play, players can earn like 750 francs per training session. And it's not every day.
It is a common story, says Cameroon football analyst Kizito Elundu.
The Cameroonais vont là-bas et ils sont en retard parce que ces pays-là ont les leurs.
He says Cameroonian players who seek greener pastures abroad have a lot of challenges competing with players who have a known track record. He says overseas teams consider the players they know first, and he says many of the Cameroonian players wind up working as night watchmen or doing odd jobs for little pay. He says when they return home, their performance on the field has suffered the coaches' lose interest. The International Federation of Professional Footballers has released some sobering statistics in its first ever global employment analysis. The findings highlight precarious working conditions and contract violations like delayed pay that can make players vulnerable to injury and match fixing. Salaries are also lower than the public may think, according to FIFPro. Nearly three quarters of players in Africa earn less than $1,000 per month, according to the report. Joseph Embola is a 24-year-old player for Tonnerre Kalara, a Division I club.
When we play football, we are not thinking about the money, we're thinking more about the future. Because if we think about money, it's really going to discourage us. Can you imagine, we go for 9 months without being paid, owe us arrears for 9 months. That's very discouraging. The only hope is that we believe in the future and we know that one day we're going to come out of that.
First Division coach Casimir Make says just a handful of Cameroon's 100 professional teams actually pay their players. The rest have to rely on their families and handouts from fans.
Oui, mais les conséquences sont énormes. C'est que notre football se vide de ses meilleurs enfants. C'est-à-dire qu'à peine un enfant a pu taper dans le ballon.
He says the consequence is that Cameroonian football is being deprived of youths who should have made it interesting, competitive, and lively. He says once a young man shows signs of becoming a good player, he is recruited abroad with promises that his needs and the needs of his family will be met. He says players prefer to go on the adventure. In a bid to retain more talent, the Cameroon Football Association is looking for company sponsorship so that it can add to the 5 million CFA francs, about $9,000, that it gives to clubs each year. Moki, Edwin Kinzeka, for VOA News, Yaoundé.
In National Basketball Association news, star guards John Wall of the Washington Wizards and James Harden of the Houston Rockets have been named the league's Eastern and Western Conference Players of the Week, respectively. Wall and Harden played against each other Monday night in Texas, where the Rockets beat the visiting Wizards 101-91. Now, Harden did not have a good shooting night. He missed 18 of the 24 shots he took from the field, but he still ended up with a triple-double. Remember, VOA basketball fans, that's double figures in three different statistical categories. James Harden had 23 points, 10 assists, and 10 rebounds. For his part, Wizards star John Wall tallied 18 points and had 12 assists. Getting back to James Harden, he sports my favorite beard in basketball, and he ended 2016 with a tremendous year-ending performance against the New York Knicks, in which he produced 53 points, 17 assists, and 16 rebounds. Harden tied the late great Wilt Chamberlain for most points scored while recording a triple-double. In other NBA highlights Monday night, Jimmy Butler fired in 52 points and also had 12 rebounds to lead the Chicago Bulls to a 118-111 victory over the visiting Charlotte Hornets. LeBron James tallied 26 points as the defending NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers beat the visiting New Orleans Pelicans 90-82. It was the eighth victory in the past nine games for the Cavaliers. The Orlando Magic won their fifth consecutive game. They beat the New York Knicks 115-103. In other NBA results, the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 98-94. The Utah Jazz scored a 101-89 road victory over the Brooklyn Nets. The Los Angeles Clippers defeated the Phoenix Suns 109-98. And the Golden State Warriors beat the Denver Nuggets 127-119. In other basketball news, Hall of Fame coach Mike Krzyzewski will undergo back surgery Friday at Duke University Hospital in North Carolina. The 69-year-old Krzyzewski has had back issues since 1994. It's not clear how long he will be sidelined. The typical recovery time for such a procedure is about 4 weeks. The longtime Duke coach had four surgeries during the offseason to replace his left knee, repair his left ankle, and also fix a hernia. The procedures came during a very busy summer for Coach K that also included leading the USA to another gold medal at the Rio Olympics in Brazil. Mike Krzyzewski is expected to coach Duke again on Wednesday against Georgia Tech and then step away for the back surgery. We hope it goes well and we see Coach K again very soon on the sidelines. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Happy New Year, Andrew.
Happy New Year, Sonny. Good to be here with you again.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Tuesday?
Well, Coach K isn't the only person in the sports world dealing with medical issues. There's a lineswoman down in Australia who had a bit of a scare yesterday at the Hopman Cup in Perth, Australia. Now, you had Spaniard Feliciano Lopez facing off against American Jack Sock, and Feliciano Lopez serves the ball 204-kilometer-an-hour serve. Now, the lineswoman at the back of the court thinks that the ball is going left, so she moves right. The problem is that the ball was going right, and it hit her right in the head.
Ouch.
204 kilometers an hour. So Jack Sock, who's on that end of the court, runs over immediately, rushes over, pats her head, gives her a kiss on the head. The lineswoman is smiling and even blushes a little bit. She was okay, and she actually, to her credit, amazingly continued in the match, despite the fact that she was hit in the head with such a fast serve. And Jack Sock, for his credit, since he was so nice to her, went on to win the match 3-6, 6-2, 6-3. But a lot of jokes on social media saying, Sock to the rescue, coming to her aid. One person saying, all it takes is a fast serve to the head for a kiss from Jack Sock. So if you're willing to risk getting hit in the head with a tennis ball, you too can get a kiss from Jack Sock on the head. And then U.S. socks it to Spain between that victory, Jack Sock, and then his mixed doubles victory. They took a 3-0 round robin lead over Spain at the Hopman Cup. So a good day for Jack Sock. He comes to the rescue. He gets a couple wins. So very nice work for him.
I guess if you're a linesman or even a ball boy or a ball girl, the fact they hit the ball so hard, those professional players, injuries can occur.
They do. And it's I've seen this actually before, some viral video. I think it was actually Novak Djokovic who was hitting a ball, and it hit either a ball kid or a lines person, and he ran over and kind of patted them on the head and made sure they were okay. So it does happen from time to time. It is very scary, but thankfully in this case, this lineswoman was okay, and she seemed to be a good sport about it.
Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we'll stick with tennis, and Serena Williams, after 115 days off, not quite as many as the 178 of Roger Federer, but 115 days since she last played at the U.S. Open, losing in the semifinals there. She is back on the court in Auckland, New Zealand for the ASB Classic and notches her first win of the year, defeating Frenchwoman Pauline Parmentier 6-3, 6-4. But a lot of talk about Serena's hands, two things in particular. First, a glimpse of her engagement ring. We talked about that she got engaged to Alexis Ohanian, the Reddit co-founder. There's a very blurry photo of her with the engagement ring. Can't really get a close-up shot, but a lot of people trying to look at that on social media. And then after the match, some discussion about her fingernails. She's very long fingernails. She does a lot of nail art. That's one of her passions and side hobbies. And she was asked about it in the interview after the match and said, I don't know how I play with these nails. I just managed to do it. So she kind of fights through that. But the overwhelming reaction on social media, she's back. We're happy. Welcome back, Serena. It's good to have you back after 115 days. And a lot of high hopes, as we talked about the other day, for her to maybe notch that 23rd Grand Slam win, perhaps in Australia or maybe later on in the year.
Andrew, do you know if her fiancé will be traveling with her during the upcoming season?
You know, she didn't mention, but I would suspect that he'll be there for at least, if not all of the tournaments that she plays, because she hopscotches around the world, maybe for some of the big ones, perhaps for some of those Grand Slam tournaments, especially if it looks like she's getting close to that 23 number. I would expect to see him in the at semifinals or even finals.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Andrew, what else is trending?
Well, we talked about the Tournament of Roses parade yesterday in Pasadena, California, leading up to the Rose Bowl. Well, the Rose Bowl held yesterday is arguably being called one of the greatest, if not the greatest, in the 103-year history of the Rose Bowl. You had USC defeating Penn State 52-49 on a last-second field goal. And the general consensus on social media, what a game. We saw video clips and GIFs throughout the course of the game. We're stretched on for about 4 hours, very long game. And it was just a back-and-forth battle between these two teams throughout. Case in point, a viral photo on social media, officials had actually wheeled out Penn State championship hats and t-shirts, and they'd already started opening the boxes in anticipation of Penn State's victory. Sure enough, USC came from behind, able to score that last-second field goal to take the lead and to win. So a very exciting game for college football fans, for sports fans generally here in the U.S. A lot of athletes and celebrities following along, tweeting about it, and just a lot of excitement there in Pasadena, California.
Andrew, what else is trending out there in the sports world?
Well, I know we're a little ways off from the Winter Olympics in 2018, but we already have a great viral story about that. A group of women are looking to become the first ever Nigerian women's bobsled team, and they're hoping to compete in the 2018 Winter Olympics. So this is a story that we've seen a little couple videos circulating around the internet about these women and how they're trying to fulfill this dream and make history for Nigeria. They've actually started a GoFundMe page to raise funds for this endeavor. They said it cost about $150,000 for equipment, for travel, for all of the competition costs. So they're looking to crowdfund this to fulfill their dreams. But there are some great videos of them. They're really pumped. You see them training on the tracks as the bobsled athletes do. They train on concrete tracks rather than tracks with ice. So they can train in the summer months. But a lot of people trying to get behind them, donating money, or at the very least just raising their awareness, saying we really hope they can make it to South Korea, compete in that 2018 Winter Olympics, and make history there. So kind of harkens back to the, you know, cool runnings, the Jamaican bobsled team.
That's right.
Was a big story in the 1990s. Well, this could be the big story of 2017 and 2018. So here's hoping that they can get there. Maybe in a few years, even after that, we might see a movie about their endeavor. But here's hoping that they can get there and compete and do quite well for themselves in South Korea.
Great story. So we will follow that and see if they make it to the Winter Olympics.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And that wraps up the January 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Happy New Year to all our VOA listeners. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The fight against corruption must become central to the broader strategy against terrorism, said Undersecretary of State for Civilian Security, Democracy, and Human Rights, Sarah Sewell. Corruption, she said, undermines the struggle against terrorism at every level. Corruption fuels new terrorist threats, often in the form of violent extremism. When public officials and businesses can demand bribes with the assurance of impunity, the compact between citizens and government is broken. This enables terrorists to cast themselves as a better deal. As Secretary of State Kerry has said many times, there is nothing more demoralizing, more destructive, more disempowering to a citizen than the belief that the system is rigged against them. Over the past 15 years in Afghanistan, for example, the Taliban has been able to replenish its fighters by exploiting discontent with government corruption. The Department of State's research on Africa found that personal experiences with corruption were significantly linked to political violence, including violent extremism. Corruption helps existing terrorist groups sustain operations and infiltrate new areas. In Mosul, for example, smuggled oil enriched the Islamic State as it attempted to seize the city. In Eastern Europe, foreign terrorist fighters have bribed border guards on their path to jihad. Across West Africa, there have been reports of soldiers selling weapons on the black market to Boko Haram, or even tipping off Al-Qaeda about future troop deployments for a fee. Finally, corruption saps the government's ability to combat terrorist threats and ensure national security. For example, when Nigerian President Buhari took office last year, he found an army hollowed out by graft and wholly incapable of confronting Boko Haram. When Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi assumed power in Iraq, he found 50,000 ghost soldiers on the payroll, draining precious resources from the fight against the Islamic State. For all of these reasons, Secretary of State John Kerry has called the fight against corruption a national security priority. For years, the world has looked at corruption as a threat to economic growth and human rights, said Undersecretary Sewell. But we have underestimated the threat. Corruption is far more dangerous than many realize, and it is time to confront it with the urgency, intensity, and resources it deserves. In doing so, we can help build societies that are not only more transparent and accountable, but are also more secure and safe from the threat of terrorism.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic, etc.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on The Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time,
with David Bandy.
Hello Africa, this is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.